Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I've got an interesting interview today. Glenn Wojcik is the owner of Pioneer Valley Environmental in Ware, Massachusetts. That's right in the middle of the state. Pioneer Valley Environmental is well known for providing excellent plumbing and HVA services to their customers. Glenn is a very smart and thoughtful guy. I had a great chance to talk with him last week at the Barefoot Roundtable on Clearwater Beach. And among other things, he was telling me about a recent company acquisition that he did. I thought it was a really interesting story, and I thought it would be great for others to hear about it. You know, a lot of people think about doing acquisitions. Some of them actually do acquisitions, and some manage to do them successfully. So I think it's useful to talk to someone who's done an acquisition and learn from his experience. So Glenn, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you for having me on.
Just to give a little context to your story, how did you get into our industry?
One of the things that I did, funny enough, was I kept thinking when I was in high school, what am I going to do? I thought that, you know, for me, I'm kind of a hands-on guy, and I want to do something with a little bit of technical challenge and a little bit of hands-on. So there was a contractor in town that did refrigeration work, and he seemed to have a pretty good lifestyle. And I thought, you know what, I think I'm going to try that out. And fortunate enough, go to school after high school, a private trade school. And that's how I started getting into it. And it's been a great ride all the way from 1983.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you were very thoughtful about it in high school, which is much better than I was. So at some point in time, you either started or bought the business Pioneer Valley Environmental. How did that come about?
Well, I was fortunate enough to work for some very good contractors along the way, some good mechanical contractors. And my last contract I worked for was a national contractor called Johnson Controls. It was a very good experience, very good contractor. But they were shifting their direction from doing a lot of installation and a lot of service. They were kind of narrowing it down at that point. And that was in 1999, 1998 at the end of it. We actually started in 1999. So, make a long story short, I ended up leaving there and starting on my own on December of 1999. And we kind of mimicked that process for us. We did a lot of schools, did a lot of service work at public schools and hospitals. That's where Johns Controls had done a lot of work. And it kind of grew from there. We did that for the first, I want to say, 18 years. And did it well, but then we joined Service Nation Alliance, growing rapidly.
Turned more of your focus to residential service then?
We did. We were only industrial commercial service for the first essentially 18 years of our existence, which did work. But once I had gone to a couple of success days over the years, probably for a couple of years before we actually joined, and it kept intriguing me and doing some more research. Then when we joined in March of 2019, we really kind of started turning the business plan around to residential service and replacement. And we probably at this point, after 2 years, a little over 2 years, we probably do 70% residential and probably about 30, and we're pushing a little further that we'll probably be at, you know, 20% commercial and 80% residential.
Tell me a little bit about the company now. How many people are on your team?
We had five, six with an apprentice, if I want to call that, or an intern from a trade school. Mm-hmm. And then we acquired a company in September, and they were essentially the same size. They had five mechanics, and they had one person as an intern from a trade school. So at this point, we have lost a couple of people in that transition. We are at 10 people, and with one of them being an intern from a trade school.
All right. So let's talk about the acquisition. Happened last year in September, right?
So that's when we closed. It actually had started the previous year in October.
Wow. So the acquisition closed in 2020, but you actually started the whole process in 2019?
Yeah, I think that the process started with a conversation from a salesman. Then I knew this company, and we were fortunate enough that he was selling. And we, after being involved with Service Nation Alliance, it was always in the back of my mind if the opportunity arose, if I saw something that was interesting. So I kind of jumped on it, if I want to call it that, and called the owner and had some dialogue, and then we met up. And unfortunately, I think COVID kind of slowed that a little bit. Probably would have been that a little bit quicker, but there were some other hurdles.
So it took almost a year, but COVID intervened in it. What about the process? I mean, was he actually looking to sell, or was it just a good opportunity for him, or what was the situation with his company?
He was looking to sell.
Okay.
He was looking to sell it. He hadn't, I guess, formally put it on the market, if I want to call it that, but he was talking about it, and he was in his early 60s, and he had been doing it for 25 years and wanted to sell.
How did the process go? Was it smooth? Was it rocky? How did you guys come up with a figure and decide what the company was worth and all that?
He had a number in his mind that when we met the first time that he had sent me some financials, and they were doing about $2 million a year. So I had some preconceived notions through my experience with Third Service Nation Alliance about what I would think he would be asking. And I had some other questions. But once we met and he had had a number, it was essentially lower than what my assumption would be. So it intrigued me even more. And we just started talking the dialogue about how this would happen and getting some more financials. And we basically, again, did some more research, got some stuff from his accountant and made sure. And I brought it up actually in my advisory board meeting. I had the financials, and that was a topic of discussion, which was very unique for us because it's not that often that you get to bring up a subject like that with 12 or 14 of your peers doing the same work all around the country and actually in Canada, and for their input about what they've done and how they've done it and what their thoughts were. And then we looked on about what our final outcome was.
Yeah, valuable insight from that group and useful for them as well to hear about you doing it. Yeah, great idea to talk it over with them. It sounds like the financial part of this went pretty smoothly. Then after the acquisition, did he stay on with you for a while, or what was the situation with the owner?
So he did. He stayed with us till the beginning of the year. We were hoping maybe a little bit longer. We were still getting things worked out, but he is still in contact. I actually just spoke to him before I got on this call, but he's not there at all daily. After the first of the year, he essentially is retired. He's still open for questions from us. And if we have some things that were lingering from the past, he's fine with answering them. So that aspect of it worked pretty well. The one thing I think that I probably underrated, I guess, if I want to call it that, was I thought it would be my own perspective that would be an easier transition with the people or the men. So one of the things, their office staff was his wife and himself, which both of them retired. So we had office staff here that we were able to utilize. But the mechanics themselves were a mix of gentlemen that had been with him, one of them for the whole duration since we've been in business, 25 plus years.
Wow.
And some other ones that have been with them 20 plus years. And I think those were the ones that I thought would be relatively easy to switch over to our processes and procedures. And that wasn't the case. And I guess in hindsight now, I probably should have realized that they were a shop that, I don't know if I want to call them a typical small plumbing shop, that didn't even write invoices. They would come in, the owner would hand them a slip, they would go out, they would do the work, they would come back, he would hand them another slip, they would go out, do the work, come back to the shop, no matter how far it was. That's the process that worked for them, and that's what they did. To us, that was odd, because we had been doing process and procedures presented to us from Service Nation Alliance for the last couple of years, and it just worked. So it was kind of a new learning curve to try to talk somebody that's been doing something for 25 years into doing something totally different. To talk about even writing an invoice, to talk about even collecting money, and then inevitably to talk about going on to an iPad and flat rate pricing. So I guess because it had been working so well for us, I just assumed it would just jump on and take care of it. But we're still actually working through some of that. We had some of the older guys, which they told us on the AB meetings, they would probably leave because it was too much change for them to handle. And that was the case. We've had three of the older gentlemen that have left to go work for somebody else, and we have put on some younger guys and are moving forward with that. But it was a little surprising to me. I thought that they would be able to adapt quicker. I was told that wasn't the case. And I guess in my mind, I thought I could make that different. But it was literally what we had talked about with our consultants, that that's really what would happen, pretty much has happened. In 6 months, I think we've come a long way. We've got all of them on tablets, all of them collecting money, all of them on flat rate pricing. We're still working on it, you know, on a weekly basis to get everybody better at it. But it's been a pretty quick turnaround, I think, in hindsight for 6 months. But I was thinking to myself it would be a little quicker.
Yeah, we always think those things are going to go faster and easier than they do. But, you know, it's an interesting transition. I really hadn't given much thought until you talked about it. But these guys that were driving into the office, getting a slip, they didn't have to collect any money. And now, They're getting dispatched from the van, probably. Got to know how to work the tablet. Got to collect the signature from the homeowner and got to collect a credit card or payment from the homeowner as well. It is a little bit different for them, isn't it?
It was a culture shock for them. And I do understand a little bit, but I think that we got kind of comfortable in doing it that way. And that just was the norm for us. It was totally left field for them to get on board. The younger guys were excited about it and pretty quickly got on board. They were pretty savvy already with the electronics, the notion. They were excited for the new change. Again, it was the people who had been doing it for a while weren't that excited about the change and weren't that excited about having to do any extra steps from what they had been doing before.
You know, you're trying to move them from 1970s, 1980s to the current day in only 6 months. I mean, I think you did pretty well.
Yeah, like I said, it has worked very well. And we had a few people that have left. But we kind of went into it knowing that. And we kind of went into it knowing that this year would be kind of maybe taking a couple steps backwards with them so we could move forward again to the following year. And I think that's really where it's kind of fallen into this day.
If I remember right, this kind of opened up a new territory for you guys in some ways, didn't it?
It did. We're fortunate that if you were to look at the state of Massachusetts, there's a large reservoir right smack dab in the middle of it that serves Metro Boston's drinking water. We have always been on the eastern border of that reservoir. But the reservoir kind of being a roadblock, kind of hard to get around either on the northern, north side or the south side of it. We had met occasionally. He had been on the western side of this reservoir, which is about 25 plus miles long. So we had met and seen some of his work. They did pretty much the same type of work we did, a lot of radiant heat type of work, a lot of high efficiency boilers, a lot of higher end bathroom type stuff. But it opened up the whole Quabbin area, if I want to call it, if you're with the state of Massachusetts. So we encompass the whole reservoir now from the eastern border, the western border, the northern and southern borders. It grew us literally twice as large as we were before the acquisition, one fell swoop.
So looking back on this experience, I mean, you're not all the way through it yet. Is there anything you would do differently?
I think I would be a little more cautious or be a little more prepared if I knew that I was going to acquire another company that had worked in the same manner that this company has. I would expect it to be a little lengthier and expect some people to leave, where I maybe was a little naive thinking that I could get it done quicker and keep everybody retained.
It's
not the way that it normally works.
I think I would have thought the same thing you thought, though. I mean, you think about it, it seems like it's a massive improvement, and you would sort of assume that everybody would get on board with that. But in retrospect, I understand. It makes sense that it was awkward for them.
And I think for us that I think it's opened our eyes to say, you know, we really are aware of it, and we want to be able to see if there's other companies. There are in our area. I think in every area, there's always a smaller company that's doing the work. And if they're doing a decent job, that at some point, those people are going to retire, and whether they've planned for that or not. But there's always room to move into a new territory and to be able to make that acquisition. I think that once I've done one now, that I'm always looking and listening to potentially have it happen again.
Good idea. Well, you know, I look forward to hearing about your next acquisition then.
And I will say that I would have never had that. I had the thought process a little bit, but really didn't have an avenue to go down to try to think about how that would happen, who I would bounce that off, who I might make sure that I'm actually on a path or trying to do it the right way. So I will give the kudos to Service Nation Alliance for allowing those interactions, those pathways, that mentoring to be able to allow that to happen for us to be able to build those avenues also.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I'm glad it worked out well for you guys. It's a great story. Well, Glenn Wojcik, I appreciate this time with you today. Thank you so much for doing this with us. It's a really interesting story. I know a lot of people are going to get good value from this, so I appreciate it.
I thank you very much.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.